Let's come in our Bibles this evening to John's Gospel chapter 4, please. John's Gospel chapter 4. Again, thank Pastor David very much for the warm invitation. Thank you again for coming out tonight. We do appreciate your attendance and your support. And we trust that the Lord will bless us as we come to His Word this evening. John chapter 4. And we'll read just from verse number 4. And this will be a well-known account in the Scripture to many, I have no doubt. I'm sure you've heard it preached on many, many times. And we're coming back to John chapter 4 this evening. John chapter 4, reading from verse number 4. And the He here is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh He to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus in the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto her, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, Go, call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that saidst thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither worship in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem. Worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And we'll just end at verse 26. And we're trusting the Lord to bless the reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word to our hearts this evening. This lady set out on a normal journey at the normal time for her, just every other day. I'm sure this is a journey that she'd have taken day after day after day when she went just to get some water and bring it back home again. It was just an ordinary day. This is the 9th of April, 2024. Nothing special about this day as far as I'm aware. And yet, just like this lady who set out on a normal everyday thing, her life would never be the same again. She would have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Her life would be totally transformed. She would be a different person. She would be what the Bible calls a new creature, a new creation. Her life would be totally turned around. She would become a child of God rather than being a child of Satan. She would be on her way to heaven, on her way to eternal life, rather than being lost on her way to a lost sinner's hell. It was just an ordinary day. That's how it began. But her life would never be the same. Do you believe the Lord can do that for you tonight? On this ordinary day, on the 9th of April 2024, The Lord Jesus Christ could totally transform your life. And you could leave this meeting tonight a new creature in Christ Jesus. I want to look at how this lady's life was turned around. And the change that we see in this lady's life. This chapter is a wonderful example of personal evangelism. Pastor Willie Mullen once described it as the greatest example of personal evangelization you'll find anywhere in the Word of God. You follow the Lord Jesus Christ's example, how He began to speak to this lady about something very mundane. In verse number 7, just give me a drink. There's nothing more common, nothing more mundane than just saying, give me a drink. And yet He brought the conversation round to Himself. Verse 26, Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. What an example for all of us. When we're speaking to people, how we can sometimes speak about them in Dean and how we can draw it round to spiritual things and eventually bring them to the subject of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how the identity of the Lord Jesus was being revealed to this lady. In verse number 9, He's just a Jew. And verse 19, the woman said unto Him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. He's not just a Jew, He's a prophet. Verse 29, she says, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? See, her eyes are being opened to the person of Jesus Christ. What a change was wrought in this woman's life. I want to think, first of all, about her task tonight. You see, here's a lady, and I believe she was preoccupied. She was preoccupied with something that was needful. Look at verse number 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink. Now, there's nothing more needful than water. Indeed, there are many people in the world don't have the access we have to water so freely and so widely available. And certainly in the Middle East, water is a precious commodity. And there's certainly nothing wrong with this dear lady coming to get some water. It's interesting at the time of the day she would come. Most of the ladies would have gone in the cool of the day when the heat wasn't up. But this lady, she's coming on her own. She's coming when the sun is at its hottest. And we'll discover later on why that was so. This woman was an outcast of society. Someone very much rejected by society and an outcast socially. We will see that she had five husbands and she's now with a man who's not her husband. There's no doubt their homes had been affected. Families had been affected by this lady and she must have felt herself an outcast, unwanted, unwelcome in so many different areas. And here she comes, and there's something that is very, very needful as she carries out this task. You know, this wasn't sinful. Of course, there's nothing wrong with coming and looking water. That's something that all of us need, and we need it every day. We wouldn't live without water. So she's preoccupied with something needful and something that's not sinful. I wonder, are you preoccupied with something tonight? I wonder, is there something clouding your mind tonight? And your thoughts are maybe not here this evening, not in the meeting, not on what is being said, but you're preoccupied with something tonight. It may not be sinful. It may indeed be something that indeed is very needful. This is how we find this dear lady. She's preoccupied with something this evening. Then we see her priority. Look down to verse number 28. You see, I believe she's coming with her water pot. She's thinking about nothing, only water. Her mind's preoccupied. This is all that's in her head. But look at verse 28. Then the woman left the water pot. Things have changed for her now. She's no longer preoccupied with water or this particular need. As I said, it was nothing sinful. It was something that was needful. But now she's left the water pot. She's now preoccupied with Christ. She has discovered one who is more important than water. She has discovered one who's more important than meeting physical needs. She's met one who can meet her spiritual needs. I wonder, have you brought some water pots into the meeting this evening? Maybe you sit in the meeting tonight with family concerns, and your mind's thinking of something that's going on in the family. Maybe financial concerns tonight. And you're preoccupied with family concerns, financial concerns, even friendship concerns, maybe even future concerns. I remember a lady staying behind one night in a meeting, and she wanted to speak to me, and she talked about all the problems she was having and all the difficulties she was having, and you have to listen to people and sympathetic with them, and as they pour out their heart. And I said, listen, the biggest problem you have tonight is your sin. And your sin has to be dealt with first of all. I wonder what's preoccupying your mind this evening. How many water pots have you brought into the meeting tonight? This lady had an encounter with Christ, and the water pots were left behind. Do you see her task? Things have changed. Let me say something about her talk tonight. I have to be careful what I say this evening. I fell out with Nigel Kizik last night, and I'm going to fall out with half the congregation tonight. Apparently women are good at talking. According to the Daily Mail, the average woman each day will use 20,000 words. Men, we're supposed to use something like 7,000 words. I think it's a bit of an exaggeration. But anyway, women seem to do a lot of talking. That's what the survey said. I would never say that. I wouldn't want to get into trouble. But this woman is talking about certain things here. And we can see in her talk, we can see something of her prejudice. Look at verse number 9. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. The Jews and the Samaritans, they hated each other. You see, after the reign of Solomon, Israel split. And the northern 10 kingdoms became known as Israel. The southern 2 became known as Judah. Eventually the northern 10 kingdoms were carried captive into a place called Assyria. And that place was then flooded with other people. And some of the Israelites remained, and they mixed, and they became what the Jews called half-breeds. They never looked upon them as real Jews at all. They looked upon them with great suspicion, and there was great hatred among the Samaritans and the Jews. And this woman is keen to talk about the prejudices here. That how can you speak to me, you being a Jew? Look down the chapter to verse 20. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Again, she's on about the same thing again. She's bringing up the difference again. She's deflecting from what the Lord Jesus wanted to talk to her about. And I wonder tonight, are you good at talking about certain things? Are you good at deflecting from the real issue tonight? And as the Lord Jesus reveals your sin, as the Lord reveals your need, as you come under conviction of sin, you know, you're keen to talk about Christians that don't live up to their testimony. You're keen to talk about things that are divisive and things that are not that important. And somehow you're being deflected from the real problem tonight. This woman wanted to talk about the prejudices. Here was her problem. Look at verse 16 to 18. Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had, the Lord knew all about her past. Let me say this, he knows all about your past tonight. The Lord's reaching out to this dear lady. He knows all about her sinful past. He knows all about your past. There's nothing that you have done that he doesn't know about tonight. And yet he's reaching out to you tonight. Look again at what the Lord says there, verse 18. For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast, he knows all about her present situation, is not thy husband, and that sayest thou truly. The Lord knows all about your past. He knows exactly where you are tonight. Knows exactly what you're thinking tonight. He knows what you're going through tonight. He knows exactly where you are tonight. He knew all about this dear lady. The Lord Jesus is revealing her sin, but she wants to change the conversation. She's happy to talk about anything other than to face the reality that she's a sinner. And we're keen to talk about so many things. We'll talk about the weather. We'll talk about so many things. We'll talk about sport. I preached my heart out one Sunday morning, and I was really drained. I was really exhausted, and I felt I've really poured out my heart here this morning at the door in the way out of a church. There's a man come to me. This is true. And he says to me, Manchester United are a shower of tramps. I said, where did you get that out of my message? Where did you get that out of my message? It was obvious he didn't want to hear what God had to say. And we can talk gossip, we can talk about people, we can talk about this and we can talk about that, but you cannot talk yourself out of this problem. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, glance down to verse 29. This woman's changed. Oh, she could talk about so many things. She didn't want to face the reality of her sin. The Lord brought her face to face with her sin. Look what she says in verse 29. And she's talking to the people here. She says, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Now she wants to talk about Christ. Now she's talking about how Christ revealed her sin. Do you see the change in this dear lady? You see, as we think of her task, she was preoccupied and the only one thing in her mind was the water and the water pots. She has left them behind now. Things that had engrossed her and taken her mind captive now don't seem to be important. She has met Christ. She's had an encounter with Christ. Her talk has changed. She's now talking about Christ. Her thinking has changed. Look at verse number 10 in John 4 again. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. Now, when the Lord talks about living water, it's obvious he's not talking about water coming out of a well or water coming out of a tap, as we might have it this evening. It's living water. This is eternal life that the Lord Jesus Christ is offering, something that if she takes, she'll never thirst again. But look what she says in verse 11 and 12. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? She can't think beyond the physical. She's not thinking of the spiritual. She's not thinking of spiritual things. She's thinking of carnal things and earthly things and physical things. She's not thinking of the spiritual at all. Isn't that what Nicodemus was like? When the Lord Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus in the previous chapter, except a man be born again, he asked the question, can a man enter into his mother's womb the second time? He couldn't get away from the physical and think of the spiritual, that he needed to be born from above. He needed to be born again. And here this lady, she can't get away from the physical. But you know, the Lord starts to reveal himself to her. As I said in verse number 9, he's just a Jew. In verse 19, he's a prophet. And verse 29, is not this the Christ? She realizes that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Savior. He's not there to quench her physical thirst. He's there to quench her spiritual thirst. It's her eternal soul, not her mortal body, that she's now interested in. Tell me, what are you interested in tonight? Have you any thought about eternity at all? Do you realize tonight there is a heaven to gain and there's a hell to be shunned? Do you realize tonight that Jesus Christ loved you so much that he went to Calvary and died on that center cross and bore the price for your sin and mine in order to make you a child of God? He has taken our sin. He wants to give you his righteousness, because our righteousness is just filthy rags. And he's offering you righteousness tonight, which will make you right in the sight of a holy God if you'll come and accept it by faith, recognizing your true condition. And you can take this living water this evening. I wonder, is your mind on the temporal tonight, or will your mind be on the eternal tonight? Moses said, consider your latter end. Not only do we see the change with her talk, and the change with her thinking and the change in her task. But you know, there's a change to her testimony here. This lady, and I'm not blaming this lady entirely, but certainly she had been part of ruining lives. This woman would have been viewed as a pollution in the city. Look at verse 17. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that saidst thou truly. She's now on man number six. And as I say, I'm not saying it was all her fault, but she had ruined many, many lives. Her life was a mess. An absolute mess. I wonder, do you come to Christ tonight and your life's a mess? This lady could have thought, what could Jesus Christ do for me? I've had five husbands, five broken marriages, five ruined marriages. I'm now living with somebody I'm not married to. How could Christ sort this out for me? Surely I would need to go and get this baggage all sorted out and try and clean up my life and reform my life before I come and look about Christ. And maybe that's how you're thinking this evening. Can I tell you a true story tonight? And I'm not going to use any names tonight because I know that this is going out on live broadcast and it'll be up on the internet for as long as it stays up there. Well, I'll tell you, this lady left the meeting one night and she had a man with her and she asked me for that little book that I've been offering you night by night. Which really just simply explains the way of salvation. I got a phone call from the man she was with and then I spoke to her directly. She had gone home, she had read the book, she had been under conviction in the meeting, she understood what she had to do, she prayed, she asked Christ to be a Saviour and her life was different. She said she had a real peace come over her. Now, here's the problem. The man that she was with in the meeting, and I didn't know them. The man she was with in the meeting wasn't her husband, but he was married. She was married as well. And she was in a relationship with this man. What a mess. What a mess. Do you know, that man rang me one day after she had put her faith and trust in the Lord. He said, my wife has been at a meeting on Sunday night. And God spoke to her. And she came and she looked me up and she said, listen, God has spoken to me and told me, I need to get back to you. I'm your wife. We need to be together. We need to get this sorted out. He finished the relationship with the other lady. And he's going to work on his marriage with his wife. The lady who had taken the book and got saved, she rang me. And she said, I'm sad and yet I'm happy because I knew this wasn't right. I'm going to try and put things right with my husband. Only God can do that. And she didn't let the mess hold her back from coming to Christ. She come to Christ, mess and all, and God will sort out the mess. What's holding you back from coming to Christ tonight? This dear lady had a messed up life. Look at verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And they went out of the city and came unto him. Look down to verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him, believed on Christ for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. She became a soul winner. Rather than being a pollution, rather than being a nuisance, rather than being an outcast, she went into the city and she began to tell men and women about Jesus Christ, the mighty to save. And many believed because of the saying of the woman. I wonder tonight if you were to get saved, what difference would it make in your home? I wonder tonight, is there those who look to you and you're not saved? And they're following your example. There's many a father has walked out of gospel meetings, rejected the Savior, and taken their family to hell. What a difference a saved dad will make in a home. What a difference a saved mum makes in the home. What a difference to have young people saved. There was a young girl saved from Banbridge, and you know, she prayed for years for her mum and dad, and we had the joy of seeing her mum and dad saved. 1 week after each other, one was saved on one Sunday night, the other was saved the following Sunday night, and now she rejoices. And maybe there's a daughter here tonight, a son here tonight, and you have a mum and a dad and they're not saved. What a difference you could make if you were to find Christ tonight. What a difference this woman, instead of being a curse, she was now a blessing. What a change. What a change from she met the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord changes people. Her talk has changed. Her task has changed. Her testimony has changed. Her thinking has changed. Let me say this. It was her time, wasn't it? She had a divine appointment with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look at verses 3 to 5 in John 4 again. I want you to see the determination of Christ here. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And here's a little phrase that's often preached on. And he must needs go through Samaria. Now, I've already said the Jews hated the Samaritans. The Jews would not go through Samaria. They would shake the dust of their feet rather than go through Samaria. But Christ says, I must needs go through Samaria. There's only one reason that took Christ to Samaria. There was a soul that needed to be saved. And Christ made his way to Samaria. Let me say this tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ has come to this place. And the Lord Jesus Christ has you in this meeting this evening. Maybe you're watching from home. There are no coincidences. There are no accidents. This is a divine appointment for you. And the Lord was there. And the Lord was there to speak to this woman. She knew nothing about it. It was just an ordinary day for her. She didn't realize she was going to have an encounter with Christ. And maybe you set out for the meeting this evening. And maybe you're here to please someone. Maybe here to keep someone quiet. Maybe here because you just said you would come and you're a man or you're a woman of your word. For whatever reason you're here tonight, you maybe didn't think you were going to meet Christ. But Christ's here tonight. And what a divine appointment you have this evening. See the determination of Christ? You see a demonstration here of Christ. Look at verse 6. I'm not going to spend long on this. And Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore being wearied with his journey. Let me just say this. Here we see the humanity of Christ. He was weary with the journey. Tell me, are you weary with the journey tonight? The Lord said to Elijah on one occasion, the journey is too great for thee. And maybe there's a child of God here tonight and you're weary with the journey. And maybe because you became weary, you became cold and you've got away from the Lord. I tell you, the Lord knows where you're at tonight. And the Lord wants to bring you back into the fold this evening. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved and you're weary with the journey and you wonder, how can you make ends meet? How can you get through life? How do you manage? Listen, I would hate to try and live without Christ as my Savior. Never mind die without Christ. You see, the one that's on the well here and the one who's weary, he has been touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was in all points tempted like as we are. He's our great high priest. He understands us like no one else. And he says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And the moment you trust Christ as your Savior, he'll take you by the hand. And he's with you every step of the way. And you can walk with him. And you can talk with him the whole way along. Just like Psalm 23 says. And at the end, there's not only that goodness and mercy will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I wouldn't want to go through life without Christ. And in my occupation, if I can call it that, you meet people with broken hearts and broken homes, and death comes in and tragedy comes in, and how often people have said, if they hadn't Christ, they couldn't cope. How do you cope without Christ? Here's one tonight who understands exactly what you're going through. He says, I want to be your Savior first and foremost. But he says, I can be the friend that sticks closer than a brother. You see the humanity of Christ here. And yet you see the deity of Christ here as well, don't you? He had never met this lady before. No one had come and said, watch that woman. She's had five husbands. She's on man number six. He didn't have anyone to do an introduction. He knew because he's God. As I said, he knew all about her past. He knew all about her present. And listen, he even knew about her future. The Lord knows all about you tonight. He was God and yet he was man. He was God manifest in flesh. That's how he was able to go to Calvary and be that perfect sacrifice that satisfied a holy God as he bore our sin in his own body on the tree. You see Christ going out of his way to meet with this woman. Christ is here tonight to meet with you because he loves you tonight. This is a divine appointment for you tonight. This is a glorious opportunity for you tonight. Notice what Christ offered her in verse number 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift, just catch the word gift. Verse 14, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give, see the word give. What he's offering is absolutely free. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's not asking you to pay for something tonight or do anything or join something tonight. He's offering you a free gift tonight. And if you're ever offered a gift, you know the only thing you have to do is come and accept it. This is free tonight. Not only is it free, it's forever tonight. Look at verse 14, or look at verse 13. And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. That's ordinary water. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Shall never thirst. He's talking about the spiritual everlasting life. And interestingly, the word drinketh in verse 13 means to continually drink. And verse 14, it's a once and for all drink. You don't get saved and saved and saved. Once saved, always saved. You come and drink of the living water tonight. And you'll be saved for time and saved for eternity. We see a lovely picture of that in the Old Testament. You remember when Moses smote the rock and from the rock there flowed that water. And when Christ was smitten on Calvary. Because the Bible says it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And God the Father laid on his Son our sin and smote him on the cross. And because of that from him flows this living water. And if you'll come to Christ tonight, you'll never thirst again. And you'll have that everlasting life. What he offers tonight is free. What he offers tonight is forever. What he offers tonight is very forthright, isn't it? Because he says in verse 26, Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. I am the way, the truth, and the life. What is truth? Christ is truth. I'm the answer tonight. You know, you'll not come and take this living water if you don't feel the need tonight. You'll not drink unless you're thirsty. And unless there's that spiritual thirst, you understand tonight that because you're a sinner, you need Christ tonight. Because Christ and Christ alone is the answer to your need tonight. And the Lord's inviting you to come tonight. What he has is free. What he has is forever this evening, and it's found in the person of Christ. You know what's interesting in verse 10? Jesus said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said unto thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Isn't that a lovely phrase? Thou would have asked of him, and he would have given it. Here's a woman with baggage, I would suggest, worse than anyone has here tonight. I'm not making little of your baggage. And yet the Lord says, if you had have asked, I would have given it to you. Me? On man number 6? You mean I can be forgiven for my sin? I can have a relationship with Jesus Christ? I can be sure of that everlasting life that He's talking about, me, in spite of all that I've done? Yes, yes. If you'll come as a sinner to Jesus, just the way you are, bring your baggage to Christ. Repent of your sin. And see what Christ will do for you. This woman's life was totally, completely, and utterly turned around. We used to sing in the gospel hall, she went away happy and gay, back to her home, never more to roam, because she got a drink of water that was not down at the bottom of the well. Oh, that could be you tonight. Let me finish with one simple thought. Look at verse 3 again. It says, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. Butler, in his commentary, says this, Christ was mostly rejected by the people of Judea. The word left means to abandon. How sad is that? We read about this lady who was an out-and-out sinner. And she comes and Christ meets her at that divine appointment. And she accepts Christ as her Savior. She tastes of that living water. She goes into the city and says, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. And others are believed and saved through the witness and the testimony of this dear lady. And yet when you go to Judea, where Christ had been, where most of His preaching had been, and yet they turned their back on Christ and He abandoned them. There will come a point when you'll turn your back on Christ for the last time. Sometimes death can come. And I think everybody in this meeting tonight knows that death comes unexpectedly. Death comes suddenly. And death can rob us of that opportunity. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Sometimes we become so hardened to the gospel. It can I use this expression? It runs off us like water of a duck's back. And we've gone too far. What if Jesus Christ were to come back tonight? I believe in my heart that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. As we see what's happening in the world, surely Jesus is coming and He's coming soon. Listen, if Christ comes back tonight, you have no hope of being saved. No more hope. What are you going to do with this divine appointment this evening? I'm sure many of you have heard of Fidel Castro. What I read, there's a couple of figures goes about. But apparently they tried to kill him 637 times. They blamed the CIA for some of them. They even put explosives in his famous cigars and missed him. Somehow he escaped assassination 637 times. Yet on the 25th of November 2016 he died. Because it's appointed unto man once to die. And after this the judgment. There's an appointment with death that every one of us will keep, barring the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a divine appointment for you tonight, where Christ is here and He's speaking to you and He's reaching out the gift of eternal life. And He's asking you to come and accept it tonight. It's a divine appointment. It's a glorious opportunity. It may be one you'll never have again. You can turn your back in this appointment. You can shun Christ. You can forget about this appointment and just ignore Him. But you'll never ignore the appointment with death. And what you do with the divine appointment will determine what death will mean for you. Will it be the entrance into glory? Or will you step into hell? What will it be for you? Have you come in tonight preoccupied? So much on your mind. Have you come tonight? There's so much baggage. How could I get this sorted out? And you're just like the woman at the well, and Christ saying, you come to me and take this living water and you'll never thirst again. And you'll have that everlasting life. Trust the Lord to sort out the mess. Will you do that tonight?